Hello, this is Brian Tracy, and welcome to this teleseminar on the Law of Attraction. Now, since I'm on the road and speaking so much this month, I'm not going to have time for a question and answer session today, but you can email me with any questions you have about what we talk at briantracy@briantracy.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. As you know, I answer all my email correspondence and all correspondence personally, so I may not write a book for you in answer to your questions, but I will certainly respond. You just need to be patient. So today we're going to be talking about the Law of Attraction, so let's count this down so that we can record it afterwards and send it out to you on a nice clean CD. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hello, and welcome to this seminar on the Law of Attraction in Action. Now, many of you have already read the book, The Secret, or watched the movie, or have studied the Law of Attraction in different ways. As it happens, it's been talked about and taught for thousands of years, so it's one of the best-kept secrets in the world. Today, however, you're going to learn how to activate the Law of Attraction in your life faster and with greater certainty than ever before. As I'll talk about in a couple of minutes, many people have embraced the concept of the Law of Attraction and then been surprised to find that they didn't get the results that they expected, and sometimes no results at all. So let me begin with my own story. In my 20s, after working at laboring jobs and getting into sales and struggling, I began asking the question, why are some people more successful than others? Why is it that some people enjoy better lives, earn more money, live in better homes, drive nicer cars, just seem to have a nicer life than others, and that the great majority, by their own admission, are not doing as well as they could? And I first of all thought it was because of education and family background and intelligence and experience and things like that. And then, as I read the research, I found that there were people who had every one of those things, but they weren't particularly successful. And then there were people who had started with none of those things who were living wonderful lives. So the first thing I discovered in studying successful people, especially in business, is that successful people do things differently than others. They know more than others about their craft, whatever it is, and they do things differently, and as a result, they get better results. It's not a great miracle. They just get better results because they do things. Now, where do they get this knowledge? They got it from studying, from experience, from asking questions, and of course, from practice, practice, practice. The second thing I discovered, however, was that top people thought differently from average people. In fact, the great difference between people who are poor and worry about money and people who are not is that people who are well off think differently about themselves, their lives, and money than other people. So this set me off on a lifelong search into how it is that top people think. And fortunately, this subject had been studied exhaustively going back to the earliest thinkers and philosophies in history. I began to study psychology and philosophy and metaphysics and religion and spiritual teachings and success principles, and eventually I discovered the secret of the ages, which is that you become what you think about most of the time. This is not really a secret. In the Old Testament it said, as a man thinketh in his heart, which is what he or she thinks intensely, so is he. In the New Testament it says, according to your faith it is done unto you, and even William James of Harvard said, belief creates the actual fact. So you become what you think about most of the time. Now, that would seem to be very simple. Think positive, happy thoughts, and you will be a positive, happy person. But that ignores the fact that we all have baggage, is that we all have a lot of thoughts, beliefs, ideas, convictions, what are sometimes called basic premises or ideas that we hold on to. Sometimes they're called fixed ideas in that we're willing to change our thinking in certain ways, but we're not willing to let go of a particular idea, usually a negative idea or thought about ourselves or about other people or about past situations. And we'll come to that in a second. So over the years, I read thousands of books and articles on this subject. And in 1981, I put it all together. I spent hundreds of hours and thousands of pages and put together a seminar, which I called the Phoenix Seminar, The Psychology of Achievement. And I brought together in this seminar more than 30 mental laws and principles that had been discovered throughout all of human history, some going back 5,000 years, and one of them was the Law of Attraction. One of the first things I learned about the Law of Attraction is that, as the mathematicians say, it is necessary but not sufficient, which is why people are often frustrated when they try to use it. The law of attraction is absolutely necessary. It's been around forever, taught thousands of years ago, but it's not sufficient to help you achieve your goals all by itself. More things are required. And the first thing is you need to understand the basic laws that really control human destiny, of which the law of attraction is an important one. So let's start with the big seven. There are many others that have been written about and spoken about in different places in my books and courses, but let's start about the big seven. The first law, which is called the iron law of the universe, sometimes it's called the granddaddy law, was first discovered or talked about by Aristotle in 350 BC. It's called the law of cause and effect. Now, the law of cause and effect, which we've all heard, was quite a revelation at that time, because when Aristotle began teaching it, most people believed that everything that happened happened because of luck and because of good chance and coincidence and attraction and things like that. And Aristotle said, no, we live in a universe governed by law, and that everything that happens must happen for a reason. And whether or not we know the reasons, there has to be a reason for everything. Now, this simple principle led to the dominance of Western civilization for the next 2,000 years and maybe even beyond, because it led to the scientific method and the mathematical method. It led to all of the processes of invention and discovery and breakthroughs in technology and physics and everything else. Basically, it said if there's any effect that you want, you could trace it back and find out what the causes were, and then by duplicating the causes, you could achieve that effect. For example, if you want to double your income, it's really quite simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. You simply find someone who is earning twice as much as you, who at one time was earning half as much as you, and then find out what they did, and then do the same thing over and over again until you achieve the same result. Now, here's a very simple point. If you do what other successful people do over and over, nothing can stop you from eventually enjoying the same success they do. And if you don't, nothing can help you. And in this case, it's a law. And with all laws, nature is neutral. Nature doesn't care. If you want to double your income, you can double your income. If you want to be thin and debt-free and have a wonderful life and a successful business, you can have it. Nature doesn't care. Nature doesn't say to one person, you may have it, to another person, I may not. All nature says is that if you do the things that have enabled other people to achieve these things, you can have the same result. And that's it. And it's sort of like gravity. Gravity shows no favors. If you step off a 10-story building, it doesn't matter whether or not you know about gravity or anybody told you about gravity or you particularly believe in gravity. All that matters is that gravity works all the time and everywhere. Now, in the Bible, they call the laws of cause and effect the law of sowing and reaping. It says, whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. And I sometimes point out the Bible is a metaphysical textbook, a spiritual guide. It's not an agricultural textbook. So when they talk about sowing and reaping, they're talking about thoughts. And if you sow a thought on fertile ground, it'll grow. If you sow a thought amongst thistles, which are negative people, negative circumstances, or on rock, where there's no belief or sustenance for it, it won't grow. But if you sow a thought, you actually will reap a result. Now, here's the interesting point, is that whatever you're reaping today in your harvest of life is the result of what you've sown in the past. So if for any reason you're not happy with what you're currently reaping in your health, your income, your family life, your career, then you can at any given time stop and sow new seeds, but which we mean new thoughts, which we'll talk about soon. The great physicist Isaac Newton called this the law of action and reaction. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so if you want to achieve a particular reaction or response, then you sow the action. Wonderful thing about the law of cause and effect is that you control half the equation. You control the cause half. And so if you control your thoughts, the effect takes care of itself. Very much like planting a seed in a garden. If you plant the seed, once you've chosen the seed and planted it in the garden, nature grows the seed all by itself. And this is a very important concept to understand. Now, the second law is called the law of control. Now, the law of control says that you feel positive about yourself to the degree to which you feel you are in control of your own life. And you feel negative about yourself to the degree to which you feel you are not in control. Psychologists feel that a sense of control is the critical factor in whether you experience stress or happiness. If you feel controlled by your boss, your bills, your health problems, then you will feel highly stressed. If you feel that you're in charge of your life, then you perform at your very best. Now, with regard to control, there's only one thing in the universe that you can personally control, and that is your thoughts. And the rule is that your thoughts determine your emotions, and your emotions determine your results. But your thoughts are the initial cause. If you control your thinking, you control your emotions. If you control your emotions, you control your entire life. And the good news is that you are always free to choose. At any given moment, you can make a decision to take control of your emotions and, like a searchlight, focus them on what you want and keep them off of what you don't want. Which brings us to the third law, which is the law of belief. Now, the law of belief says that whatever you believe with conviction becomes your reality. If you intensely believe something to be true, you tend to see the world through that screen of beliefs. Now, it may or may not be true, but if you believe it to be true, then you will act on the basis of that belief. As William James said, belief creates the actual fact. And it's important to understand this because the more intensely you believe it, the more likely it is you'll see the world in terms of that belief. Now, interesting thing that I pointed out, and people have a hard time with this, is that no one is born with any beliefs. As David Hume, the British philosopher, said, each person is born as a tabula rasa, or a white sheet. And all beliefs are basically marked on that sheet by the people in their lives. So that means people who believe intensely in anything today, whether it's a religion or a political party or anything else, at one time had zero beliefs in that area at all. And all those beliefs are learned. Almost everything that you know today, you have learned from somewhere or someone else. And your source may or may not be accurate. So the starting point of unlocking your potential and using the law of attraction for that matter is for you to question your self-limiting beliefs. Now, many people have self-limiting beliefs, and the most common ones are, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not as intelligent as others, I'm not as capable, sometimes I'm too young or I'm too old, I'm male or I'm female, I'm black, I'm white, I'm tall, I'm short, I'm educated, I'm uneducated. And we use these beliefs as ways of holding ourselves back. We literally put our foot on the brakes of our own potential and hold ourselves back. So the starting point of liberating yourself is to question your self-limiting beliefs. And a very simple way is to ask, what beliefs do I have that might be holding me back? And then ask yourself, what if these beliefs were not correct at all? What if these were false beliefs? What if I had all the potential and all the intelligence and all the creativity and all the ingenuity and all the good things in life, and I could have anything I wanted? If that were true, wouldn't it be extraordinary? And here's the fact. It is true. Is that you have more potential than you could use in 100 lifetimes. You have so much ability, it's unbelievable. And the more of your ability you use, the more of it you can use. Just like the more of your intelligence you use, the smarter you get. The more you learn, the more you can learn. The more you exercise physically and strengthen your muscles, the more you can exercise physically and do even stronger things. So you have enormous potential. And the starting point of releasing that potential is for you to challenge your self-limiting beliefs. Here's a rule that we teach over and over again. Never say anything about yourself that you don't want to be true. So in other words, don't say, well, I'm always late, or don't say I'm not very good with money, or don't say I'm not very good at investing, or don't say that I'm kind of shy and when it comes to selling or promoting myself. Don't say those things, because they're not necessarily true. There's thousands and millions of people who had those self-limiting beliefs at one time who got over them. And so we say, you know, get over it and get on with it. Leave your self-limiting beliefs by the side of the road and get on with it. Now, here's the best belief for you to have. And it is the belief that you are destined to be a big success and have a wonderful life. That you were selected by God and put here on this earth with extraordinary abilities and the capacity to have a fabulous life. Your job is to just to find out exactly what that is and what it means to you, and then to go after it. And if you have that belief, you'll have the belief of all successful people throughout the ages. Throughout the ages, successful people, no matter what adversity they've experienced, and some of it has been awful, they've held on to the belief that they have the ability to do something wonderful with their lives. And as a result, they go out and do something wonderful with their lives. There is a little affirmation that I encourage people to say over the years, and that every morning when you get up, say, I believe that something wonderful is going to happen to me today. I believe that something wonderful is going to happen to me today. And what that does is it creates a force field of energy around you that starts to attract wonderful things into your life. So just say, I believe that something wonderful is going to happen to me today. And surprise, surprise, something wonderful will happen to you. At the end of the day, as you sit and reflect, you'll be amazed at all the wonderful things, big and small, that happened to you that day. And it's because you created this positive force field of energy that made it possible. Now, the fourth law is the law of expectations. And the law of expectations says that whatever you expect with confidence becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, by self-fulfilling prophecy, we mean that your expectations seem to make it come true. You always seem to get what you expect. As they say, you don't get in life what you want, you get what you expect. And so the rule is always to expect the best, to expect good things to happen to you. You'll find that positive expectations, again, creates a force field of energy that enables all your mental powers to work for you, whereas a force field of negative expectations drives away all good things that could possibly come into your life. Now, there's three areas of expectations that are important. First of all, there's the expectations that your parents had of you. And I'm always astonished when I run into people who are held back as adults because one of their parents told them that they were no good or not smart or not talented when they were young, and it affected their self-concept and self-esteem so much that they believed it. And for the rest of their lives, they walk around as if they have limited talent and potential. The second kind of expectations are the expectations that the people in your life have of you, especially the people that you look up to. Your boss's expectations of you have an inordinate impact on your performance. What we know, by the way, it's very simple, is that all really good bosses are really high expectations bosses. They're always encouraging their people and telling their people how good they are and how good they can be. By the way, you have an inordinate impact on the people in your life by the expectations you have of them. I have four wonderful children, I'm happy to say, and I knew this before they were born. So all their lives, I've told them how good they are, how wonderful they are, how talented they are, how excellent they are. I'm always telling them good things about themselves. So they've grown up with a very, very positive attitude about themselves and their possibilities, because the most important person in their life at a time when they were most susceptible to the influences of others told them how good they were year after year after year. And I've never criticized my children. I have never told them that they're bad or that they're not good at anything. They've never heard me criticize them. I've disagreed with them and I argue with them and we have all kinds of things like that, but I never, never, never tell them anything that could hurt their expectations of themselves. Now, by the way, your spouse's expectations of you have an enormous impact on what you accomplish. I cannot tell you the number of men and women, for that matter, who've gone on to become extremely successful in their lives because their spouse always expected them to. And they may have invested and lost money and gone broke and things like that, but their spouse never stopped having faith in them. And because of that, that one thing, having the person closest to you confidently believing and expecting you to do well, these people have bounced back from every adversity and gone on to accomplish wonderful things. And so can you. So be very alert. Your expectations are enormously powerful. Now, the most important expectations you have are the expectations you have of yourself. If you expect yourself to be successful, you will be. If you expect to be happy, you will be. If you expect to do well and be popular and be thin and have a great life, then you will behave in a manner consistent with your expectations, and that will turn out to be your own self-fulfilling prophecy. There's a rule that says you can always tell your own future by the way you talk about yourself in the present. If you talk about yourself in a positive, constructive way in the present, then what will happen is that that will become your future. And surprise, surprise, it's exactly what you expected, which increases your positive expectations, and you get onto this upward spiral of life. Now, the fifth law, which is really my favorite, is called the law of correspondence. Now, the law of correspondence goes back to the Bible, where it says, as within, so without. It says that your outer life, your outer world, is a mirror image reflection of your inner world. It says that wherever you look, there you are. And you could see this law of correspondence very quickly by looking at a person's conditions in three areas. First of all, you look at the conditions of their relationships. Wherever you find a person who is a good person, they have good relationships, good marriages, good friendships, good colleagues. People like them, people help them, people open doors for them. And so relationships are a mirror image reflection of the true quality of the person inside. Not what they hope to be, not what they fake, not what they pretend to be, but only what they truly are. And of course, this is a part of the law of expectations, which we'll come to. The second area where you can see this is in the financial condition of a person's life. And what I always tell people, and I'm really adamant about this, is that your outer world of financial conditions will be a mirror image reflection of your inner world of preparation. If you have learned and prepared and become excellent at what you do, you're going to have wonderful life on the outside. If you are not good at what you do, and unfortunately, most people accept mediocrity or average performance, then your outer world of conditions will be marked by worries about money, high debt, secondhand cars, reading the right-hand column of the menu to see how hungry you are when you go out, and so on. So if you want to change your material conditions, go to work on yourself. Just go to work on becoming better. Learn new skills, practice new skills, work day and night to become really, really good at what you do. And surprise, surprise, because there's very little competition, your external conditions will reveal it. The third area where you can see the law of correspondence is in your health habits. If you look at a person's physical body, you can see that their attitude toward physical health, toward food and the quantities they eat, toward exercise and the amount that they do, and so on, is perfectly reflected in their physical condition. So if you want to change your outer world, you have to change your inner world. And this brings us to what I think is one of the great metaphysical concepts ever discovered, and it's called the mental equivalent. Now, the mental equivalent says that your outer world is the physical equivalent of your inner world. It also says that your primary job in life is to present to the universe the mental equivalent of what you want. That's why it's so important that you feed your mind with words and pictures and images and even positive conversations and ideas from audio programs and books and so on that are consistent with the kind of world you want to enjoy on the outside. You know, we say to people, if you got up in the morning and you drank a fresh glass of orange juice, you'd feel very different than if you got up in the morning and drank a big glass of crankcase oil. Now, what's the difference? Well, getting up in the morning and reading something educational or motivational or spiritual to start your day is very different from getting up in the morning, turning on the television and looking at all the murders and crime and corruption and reading the newspaper to reread the same stories over and over again. If you fill your mind with garbage, that's exactly what's going to happen. If you fill your mind with positive mental nutrition, then you're going to feel healthy and happy and positive, and it's going to affect you all day long. Henry Ward Beecher, one of the great teachers of the 1900s, said, "The first hour is the rudder of the day." The first hour is the rudder of the day. The first hour, which he calls the golden hour, sets the tone for the entire day. So if in your golden hour, your first hour after arising, you exercise physically and you exercise mentally by putting something positive and nutritious in your mind, it sets the tone for the whole day, and your whole day will be better. And if you do this, by the way, for 2 or 3 weeks in a row, you'll develop a new habit. Once you have the habit of starting your day off right, you'll produce twice as much, you'll earn twice as much, you'll feel fabulous, you'll have better mental and physical health, you'll have better relationships. It's amazing how powerful that first hour can be. And I've taught this now to, I am happy to say, millions of people in 47 countries, and they come back and say, it's extraordinary what happens when you take control of that first hour. And instead of falling into the habit of getting up and feeding your mind with mental candy or mental garbage, you feed your mind with mental protein, mental vitamins, mental nutrition, mental minerals. Which brings us to the sixth law, the law of subconscious activity. The law of subconscious activity is often confused with the law of superconscious activity. The subconscious mind, however, is like a garden. It's like a fertile garden, and it will grow any seed that you plant in it in your subconscious mind. Any thought, word, picture, or idea that you plant into your subconscious mind will grow, whether it's positive or negative. On the other hand, the law of superconscious activity says that any thought, plan, goal, or idea that you have will be brought into your reality by the superconscious mind, which is a whole nother thing and a partial explanation of the law of attraction. But the law of subconscious activity says that like a garden, flowers or weeds will grow. If you plant weeds in your garden, negative thoughts, worry, doubt, fear, anger, and so on, then they'll grow, and they will eventually choke off your life. If you plant flowers and you keep the weeds away, then the flowers will grow. And really, the choice is completely up to you, and you're always free to choose the seeds that you place in your garden. Finally, we come to our friend, the law of attraction. Now, the law of attraction is under all of these laws. The law of attraction is a law under the law of cause and effect. And what the law of attraction says is that you are a living magnet, that your thoughts magnetized go out from you and bring back into your life words, pictures, people, resources, ideas that are in harmony with your dominant thoughts, positive or negative. Now remember this, the laws are neutral. Nature is neutral. So the law of attraction works both ways. It's a two-edged sword. They say birds of a feather flock together. This means that really nice, positive, cheerful people seem to be attracted to each other, but so too negative, angry, complaining, critical, criminal people tend to be attracted to each other. So your job is to realize that your thought energy radiates out from you at an incredible speed and draws back into your life the people and resources that are consistent with those dominant thoughts, but especially those dominant thoughts emotionalized. And you have to understand this. It is the emotion attached to the thought that determines the result. In fact, there's a very simple equation that summarizes it completely. It says T times E equals R. Thought multiplied times the emotion, the intensity of the emotion, equals the result or the reality. Now, there are some sub-laws or principles of the law of attraction that you should know. The first is what is called the law of vibration. Now, the law of vibration says that the entire universe is energy and is in a state of vibration. Well, what does that mean? It means that everything vibrates. Some things vibrate at very high intensity, some things vibrate at low intensity. And you always harmonize your mind with similar vibrations as somewhere else. So understand that your thoughts also vibrate out and radiate out from you at incredible speed. And I'll give you a very simple example. You are sitting at home talking to somebody and you're saying, hey, I wonder whatever happened to old Charlie. Haven't heard from him for years. And 2 seconds later, the telephone rings and there's old Charlie. Now, how did that happen? Well, if that only happened once in your lifetime, you could say that's a remarkable coincidence. But the fact is, it happens all the time. When you think a thought, and the thought is positive and clear, and you have a picture in your mind of Charlie, suddenly the phone rings. Does it happen all the time? No. The laws work all the time, but they don't work with the same speed or consistency. Now, the second principle is called the law of sympathetic vibration. Now, the law of sympathetic vibration is quite remarkable in that it determines an enormous amount of what happens to you. I'll give you an interesting example. I just returned from the Eastern Bloc, where I spoke in Moscow, St. Petersburg, and Belgrade. And my client is a very interesting guy named Matt Marinsek. And Matt is from Slovenia. And many years ago, he saved some money from door-to-door sales, and he went to America to travel around. And he was traveling around in the U.S., and it was late in the evening, and he was tired, so he went into a bar to get a glass of beer. He sat at the bar. There's only one chair in the whole bar, and he was sitting there drinking the beer. The person next to him said, how are you doing? He said, fine. He said, do you live around here? He said, no. Well, it turned out that this man was a distributor for a large international company. He said, would you be interested in a job door-to-door selling our product here in southern Florida? Well, he didn't have anything going for him, so he said, sure. Because of his previous experience as a door-to-door salesman, he turned out to be pretty good at it. Within a year, he was the number one salesman for this company in southern Florida. And then he thought, you know, there'd be a great opportunity for this business back in Slovenia, a small country that I've spoken in several times that has a population of 2.7 million, and it's part of the old Yugoslavia. So he called the company. He said, could I have the rights to distribute this product in Slovenia? And they said, sure, as long as you pay cash for your stock, you can have it. So he went back to Slovenia. He set up a business. He began to sell the product. And then he called them back, and he's doing well. He said, could I have the countries next to Slovenia, Croatia, Serbia, Macedonia? And they said, sure. How about Hungary, Poland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania? He said, sure. How about Russia? Why not? How about the Czech Republic? How about the Slovak Republic? Well, now he runs 16 countries, and last year he did $60 million in business through 10,000 distributors spread across his entire market area, and he's probably doing quite well. Let's say he's doing quite well. He spends a lot of time on his yacht in the Adriatic. He has beautiful homes in different parts of Europe and so on. All of that came because he was in a positive state of mind, And when he heard about an opportunity to sell, he had a positive attitude toward that because he sold in the past. And he just happened to sit down at the one stool next to the one person who opened the one door that has made him an extremely rich and successful person. Now, this happens all the time. It happens all the time if you're open to it. It happens all the time. Some people would sit there at the bar and the person would say, "How are you doing?" He'd say, "Fine," and not reply, not even realize that he might have missed the opportunity of his life. Now, this law of sympathetic resonance is interesting. If you have two pianos on either side of a room and you go and you strike the note of C flat on one piano and walk across to the other side of the room, you'll find that the note of C flat, the string, is vibrating in sympathetic resonance to the other piano on the other side of the room. Application of this is very simple. You walk into a room and there's a member of the opposite sex on the other side of the room and your eyes meet. And that's the end of it. After that, you're married, you settle down, you have children, sometimes live happily for the rest of your lives. But Khalil Gibran had a very interesting comment in his book, The Prophet. He said, there must be a moment of recognition, a spark at the first moment of meeting between a man and a woman, or it will never occur. And I've shared that with lots and lots of people who are have been through in relationships or happily married, and they said it's absolutely amazing. They get onto a bus and something happens between them and one other person. They go to work and they see one other person. The eyes meet and there's that spark, that moment of recognition, that chemical reaction, that law of sympathetic resonance that vibrates in both hearts and both souls that brings those people together sometimes for the rest of their lives. I know that's true for myself and my wife. And it's true for many of my good friends that have been friends of mine for 30 and 40 years. So you take these laws together, the law of attraction, you're a living magnet, combined with the law of vibration, that everything is in vibration and expanding outward, and the law of sympathetic resonance, that we says we resonate with things that are similar to our dominant and emotionalized thoughts. And then there's one more principle. It's called the principle of the reticular cortex. Each person has what is called a reticular activating system. Now, a reticular activating system is a small part of the brain that acts like a telephone switchboard. And whenever you have told your subconscious mind that something in your life is important to you, it activates this switchboard and all of your senses become attuned to looking for that everywhere. For example, if you're single, it's amazing how attuned you are to seeing and meeting other single people. Let's say you decide to buy a red sports car, and from then on you decide to buy a red Maserati or Toyota or some kind of sports car. From then on, you see the sports cars everywhere. I remember many years ago, I saw a guy who was younger than me, who was doing much better than me, who was well known, he'd been in the papers, driving a 450 SEL Mercedes-Benz, silver gray, blue leather upholstery. And I went and I looked at the car and I walked around it. He walked away and I walked around it and I just drooled over that car. I was driving an old diesel that was freezing up in the wintertime. And I looked at that beautiful Mercedes-Benz and I thought, geez, someday I'd love to own a car like that. Well, within 2 years, the general manager of the Mercedes-Benz dealership in the city and I were having a conversation and he said, "Have I got the car for you?" And I said, "Oh, no, you don't." Natural, self-limiting beliefs. He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Come here, look at it." And we're in the second floor. Look down there. He pointed down to a 450 SEL Mercedes-Benz four-door, beautiful blue leather upholstery. He said, "That's the car for you." And I said, "I could never afford a car like that." Self-limiting beliefs. And he said, "Well, don't be so sure." He said, "I couldn't afford the down payment." He said, "We'll take your car as a down payment." "I couldn't afford the monthly payments." He said, "Would you buy this car personally or through your own business?" I said, "Why?" He said, "Because if you bought it through your own business, you could deduct the depreciation, you could deduct the insurance, you could deduct all of the fuel costs and all the service costs, bringing the total cost to you," and he calculated it to $127 a month to drive that car away with no money out of your own pocket. Well, you can imagine what I did. I drove that car away, and I drove it for years, and I drove Mercedes-Benz for years. My whole mindset was completely changed. I never drove less than a Mercedes-Benz for many, many years. The point was that it was exactly the car that I'd visualized and thought about and dreamed about and hoped for, and there it was. In almost no time at all. 2 years is really nothing in the great scheme of things. And I could afford it too, by the way. My whole life was different. So, how do activate the law of attraction in your life. Well, realize that there's two major problems that hold you back, and you've got to recognize these. The first major problem is doubt. Self-doubt is one of the greatest crippling factors in the human psyche. It's not that we don't want things or don't hope for them or don't wish for them or don't pray for them and so on and so forth. It's that in our heart of hearts, we doubt whether we're good enough. We doubt whether we deserve them. In fact, the idea of deservingness is one of the great factors that holds people back. And the second thing that holds us back is our fears. And we have two major fears. We have the fears of failure. What if I lose money? What if I lose time? What if I lose a relationship or a job? And the second is the fear of rejection or criticism. What if people don't like me? What if people disapprove of my decision? What if people ridicule me or I feel embarrassed? And what we know is that these fears short-circuit the law of attraction, because whatever emotion is stronger is the emotion that determines whether the law of attraction works. If your emotions of doubt and fear are stronger than your emotions of desire and wishing and longing and hoping, then the emotions of doubt and fear will short-circuit, cancel out, pull the plug on all the things you wanted with and hope to attract with the law of attraction. So there are several ways that you can trigger the law of attraction. And the good news is that whatever you do repeatedly over and over eventually becomes a habit. So you can actually build up certain habits of thought and behavior that will change your life. So here are the keys to activating the law of attraction in your life. Number one is called idealization. Now, in idealization, what you do is you mentally wave a magic wand and create a perfect, beautiful future for yourself, and especially in four areas. The first area has to do with your income and your career and your job and your business. Imagine that you could wave a magic wand and make your entire career, income, business perfect in every way. If you could, what would it look like? How much would you be earning this year, next year, 5 years from now? Create what is called a five-year fantasy for your life. Project forward into the future and imagine that all of your problems have been solved, all your debts paid, all your goals achieved in this area. What does it look like? What would you be doing? And at what level would you be doing it? Who would you be working with and who would you no longer be working with? If it was your business, what size would it be and what would it be doing? And what kind of profits would you be earning? And just imagine that you have no limitations at all, that you have all the time and all the money and all the friends and all the contacts, and you have all the talents and all the abilities, and you could be, do, and have anything you wanted in life. What would it look like? This is really important. Now, the second area of idealization has to do with your relationships, with your family, with the people in your life. If you could wave a magic wand and have a perfect lifestyle, beautiful house, beautiful car, travel, schools for your children, vacations. If your lifestyle was perfect, what would it look like and how would it be different from today? And just imagine that you could wave a magic wand and make it perfect. Now, one of the things you can do, by the way, is you can begin to read magazines with pictures of beautiful homes, beautiful landscaping, beautiful architecture and furniture. Go to open houses in the very best neighborhoods in town. Feed your mind with exactly what it would look like if it was perfect in every way. Now, the third way of idealization has to do with your health. Imagine that you were perfectly healthy in every way, that you were exactly the right physical structure, the right weight, you were fit, you were energetic, you looked good, you were attractive to yourself and others, and of course, do the same thing for the members of your family. If you had perfect physical health all around, what would it look like and how would it be different from today? And finally, it has to do with your financial independence. If your financial life was perfect, if you had enough money put away so that you never had to worry about money again, how much money would that be? How much would you have to have coming in each month, each year, for you to live and never work again? Whatever that number is, think about your number. Imagine your number. Write down your number. Visualize your number. Imagine what you would do in your life if you had no financial worries at all. This form of idealization, freeing your mind completely from all self-limiting beliefs, all negatives, all past experience, all constraints, This form of idealization frees your mind to imagine a beautiful life. Now, the second part of this process is called verbalization. And in verbalization, you explicitly state exactly what you want to have in your life, and you write it down on paper. Now, there's a rule that says that you do not understand something unless you can express it in words and write it down on paper. If it's just rattling around in your mind, it has no shape or form that your mind can go to work on. So take a piece of paper and write out clearly and specifically exactly what you want to have in the present tense. For example, you would say, I earn X number of dollars this year, and I earn X number of dollars next year. I achieve this level of sales and income and this position in my company. You would write down, I live in this kind of a house, in this kind of a neighborhood, and drive this kind of a car, and take these kind of vacations. You would write down your ideal weight, a level of fitness and lifestyle. You would write down exactly how much you want to have in the bank. There's something about transferring a goal or a dream out of your head through your hand onto paper that causes it to come alive and activates the law of attraction for you. Now, the third way to activate the law is through visualization. In visualization, you create a clear mental image, a picture of exactly what your ideal life would look like in each area. And there's four parts of visualization that are really not taught anywhere else. But number one is vividness. There seems to be a one-to-one relationship between how vivid and clear your goal or dream is and how rapidly you attract it into your life. If you have a vague, fuzzy notion of what you want, it comes into your life very slowly, if at all. But if your picture is crystal clear, it comes into your life very rapidly. So take the time to think about it. Get pictures of your ideal lifestyle. Get pictures of your ideal body. Get pictures of your ideal home or car. Get pictures of it and post the pictures where you can see them. Even in your dreams, you can see them clearly. Now, the second part of visualization is duration. The longer you can hold a mental picture in your mind, the more rapidly it comes into your life. So if you combine vividness with duration, instead of holding the picture for a few seconds, try to hold the picture for 30 seconds or 60 seconds. When you drive along, imagine the perfect goals for you and what you want in your life. When you go to sleep at night, when you're completely relaxed, get a clear mental picture of something that you want and focus on that picture. Soak in that picture for as long as you possibly can. Now, the third part of visualization is called intensity. And intensity is the amount of emotion you put into your mental picture. It's if you can imbue that mental picture with a feeling of excitement and confidence and enthusiasm. What we say is get the feeling that would accompany the achievement of the goal. If the feeling would be one of pride and happiness and elation and joy, if that's the feeling, imagine those feelings. Whip them up. One of the things that you can do, by the way, which is a neat little trick, is think of some situation in your life that caused you to feel really happy. And as you replay that experience and you start to feel happy again, because the replaying of the experience will trigger the same emotion that went with it, then switch your mind to the new goal and accompany the new goal with the same emotion or feeling that you had with the old goal. It's a very neat trick and it works very powerfully. And the more you do it, the more you will automatically associate your picture of your new goal with the old goal. The next stage is to release the goal. Just let it go and get busy doing something else. Just absolutely trust in the timing that your goal will come into your life without your making any additional efforts to make it happen. Just release, let go, get your mind busy elsewhere. And then finally, actualize. Is your goal will then realize at exactly the right time for you, without any pressure or any intensity. And this brings us to one of the great discoveries, is there is a particular mental attitude that is essential for activating the law of attraction and bringing your goals into your life. And that is an attitude of calm, positive expectations. Is just calmly and confidently expect that everything is unfolding as it should. Is that as you are moving towards your goal is moving toward you. is that it can't move any faster or any slower. And when you calmly, confidently expect that everything is working out right, you'll be absolutely astonished at what will happen. Sometimes you meet people and there's a problem going on and say, oh, don't worry, something will happen. Or don't worry, it'll be okay. Or don't worry, life will be fine. Sometimes you can just say, well, I believe something wonderful is going to happen to me today. And what that does is just makes you calm and positive, and it creates the fertile soil in which your law of attraction activates and works for you. There are additional ways that you can use to accelerate the law of attraction in your life. One of them, if you're of a religious bent, is to pray. The very act of praying and sitting quietly and attuning yourself to the infinite often causes the law of attraction to work and causes things to happen for you. But don't forget, the rule says pray and then move your feet. It's fine to pray and look for guidance, but when you do get the guidance, then you have to get out there and you really have to work. The second thing you can do is meditate. Many people who meditate for 20 minutes once or twice a day are amazed to see the things that unfold in their life always in harmony and completely consistent with their true goals and ambitions. And the third way, and my favorite, is solitude, which is to sit quietly for 30 or 60 minutes somewhere where there's no interruptions and just sit and let your mind settle. It's almost like, imagine a bucket full of muddy water. If you take the bucket and you let it sit for a while, all the silt sinks to the bottom and the water becomes perfectly clear. Well, in your busy, busy life, your mind gets all jumbled up as well. And if you can discipline yourself to sit quietly for 30 to 60 minutes at the end of the day with no interruptions, you'll find that your mind at about 25 or 30 minutes goes completely clear. And at that point, you start to have all kinds of ideas to help you to achieve the goal of your dreams. Now, there's another way for you to activate the law of attraction, and that's with what is called the 20 idea method. With the 20 idea method, you take your biggest goal or dream or hope, and let's say your goal is to double your income, and you write that at the top of the page in the form of a question. And you write down, what are all the things that I could do to double my income over the next 12 to 24 months? ? And then you discipline yourself to write 20 answers to that question. You'll be quite astonished at the number of good ideas that you'll come up with, and the very act of doing that increases the intensity of vibration. It sends out vibrations to a greater and greater distance and attracts back into your life people, resources, circumstances, ideas that help you to make your goal come true. This 20 idea method is one of the most powerful life-changing techniques I've ever seen. When you are practicing the law of attraction, watch out for two great friends. One is called serendipity. Serendipity is the process of making happy discoveries. Now, it's interesting. That means if you go through life, you'll just keep your eyes open, and every so often, you'll make a happy discovery, something you hadn't expected. You'll find a book on a friend's bookshelf, and you take it home and read it, and it will change your whole life. You will decide to go to a different restaurant or enroll in a course at the community college, and you'll meet a person there that will change your entire life. So be open to what we call serendipitous events, unexpected happy events or coincidences that can lead your life in a completely different direction, but always in harmony with that goal or dream that you had. And this is part of the law of attraction. The second friend we have is called synchronicity. Earlier I talked about the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect says that for every effect there's a cause. The principle of synchronicity is a higher law that says that two events may be linked not by cause and effect, but by meaning. In other words, two events can happen, one in one part of your life and another in another part of your life, and both of them help and reinforce each other, and the only thing they have in common is that they help you achieve the goal that you are visualizing and emotionalizing. So be aware and be alert to synchronous events. Be aware to these remarkable coincidences that can take place, seemingly inexplicably, that will lead you towards your goal. The best news is that you have control over one thing in the universe, the thoughts you think. But this isn't enough. When you discipline yourself to keep your thoughts on what you want and off of what you don't want, your entire life will change for the better. Your outer world will become a mirror image reflection of your inner world. So let's wrap up this message with 7 proven ways to control your thinking and to keep it positive, optimistic, and focused on the things you want to have and on the person that you want to be. Number 1 is positive self-talk. Fully 95% of your emotions are determined by the things that you say to yourself throughout the day, what is often called your inner dialogue, that stream of words that flows through your mind. The way that you interpret or explain things to yourself largely determines the effect they have upon you. Remember, it is not what happens to you, but how you interpret it, how you explain it, or how you think about it that determines if it has any positive or negative emotional connotation. You could be stuck in traffic and you could become angry and frustrated that you're stuck in traffic, or you could look upon this as a good opportunity to think and plan about your day before you get to work. Same event, 2 opposite responses, 2 opposite choices, 2 opposite emotional reactions. By talking to yourself positively all the time, you take full control over your mind and emotions. Remember, you can only think one thought at a time, and if you're thinking something positive and optimistic, you can't think of something negative and destructive. So repeat over and over to yourself the words, "I like myself. I love my work. I can do it. I'm the best." This is how top people talk to themselves all day long. Now, number 2 in reprogramming your mind is positive imaging. Visualize yourself as you would like to be, as the very best in your life and business. Remember, you always act on the outside in a manner consistent with the picture you have of yourself on the inside. When you change the inner picture, you change the outer performance and behavior. We say that all improvement in your outer life begins with an improvement in your mental pictures, in your visualizations. And if you can combine positive affirmations, "I can do it," with regard to your goals, and positive imaging, pictures of yourself performing at your best, you'll be astonished at how quickly you activate the law of attraction. When you repeat a positive picture of yourself over and over again, your subconscious mind accepts this new picture as a command and makes your performance and behavior fit a pattern consistent with it. The third key to activate the law of attraction is positive mental food. Just as you become what you think about, you also become what you eat mentally. So read positive books and articles every day to keep your mind fresh, optimistic, and clear. It's interesting, top people are continually feeding their mind with written material that is positive and healthy and makes them feel better about themselves and more effective in their lives. Listen to positive educational audio programs in your car. Continually immerse your mind in new ideas that are inspirational, uplifting, and helpful. I've had people come to my seminars and tell me wonderful stories. Not long ago in St. Louis, this young guy came to my seminar. He said he had just started off his career. He was 23 or 24. He had a bit of a learning disability and hadn't done well in school. He was driving an old car and living at home with his mother. He came to my program and was so excited about listening to my audio programs that he went home at lunchtime and borrowed the money from his mother and came back and bought 6 of my programs. He said from that day onward, that's all he did when he drove around, is he turned his car into a university on wheels, and he just listened all the time. He learned about goal setting and personal development and time management, how to sell effectively. He said when he came to my seminar 5 years later, he was earning more than $500,000 a year. He had a beautiful home. He was married. He had beautiful new cars. His kids were in private schools. He said it transformed his life just to listen and listen and listen to these great ideas while he was traveling around. And a fourth way to fill your mind with positive mental food is to attend seminars, conferences, and meetings with other positive, optimistic people who also have goals and who are excited about the future. Attend every seminar that you possibly can in your business and your career. It's absolutely amazing. Sometimes one word from a speaker will change your life. Sometimes one comment from a person you're sitting next to will change your whole direction. So increase the likelihood that this will happen by going to as many courses and seminars as you can. Now, the fourth key to activating your mental powers is positive people,
get around the right people and get away from the wrong people. Remember, according to psychologists, you are inordinately affected by the attitudes and personalities of the people around you, whether you like it or not. They send off vibrations as well that affect your subconscious mind. You can sometimes be in the presence of a negative person who never says a word, and you'll start to feel negative and worried and anxious yourself. People's subconscious mind, especially multiplied by the intensity of their negative vibrations, can have a terrible effect on you. It can even stop equipment from working. So choose your friends and associates with care. Only spend time with people who are positive and optimistic about themselves and their futures. And meanwhile, discontinue your relationships with what are called toxic people. Those people who complain and criticize and condemn and gossip most of the time. Just get away from them because they've got something called loser slime all over them and it gets on everybody who associates with them. The fifth key to unlocking your potential and activating the law of attraction is positive health habits. Take the time to engage in the healthy behaviors that increase your energy and improve your fitness. Eat the right foods. Eat lean source protein, lots of fruit and vegetables, whole grains, and drink lots of water throughout the day. Get 200 minutes or more of exercise each week, walking, running, swimming, cycling, or working out in the gym. Get lots of rest every night. Go to bed early and on weekends and on regular vacations. Take good care of yourself. The more rested you are, the healthier you are, the more powerful and positive the vibrations that you send off, and the more rapidly you attract into your mind the people and circumstances that are in harmony with your dominant goals. Number 6 is positive training and development. You and your mind are your most precious resources. You must continually upgrade them in times of rapid change. Read 30 to 60 minutes each day in your field. This works out to 50 books per year, 500 books in 10 years. If you read an hour a day in your field, you'll become one of the best educated and most skilled people at your craft that exists today. Listen to educational audio programs in your car, as we've said before. You can get the equivalent of full-time university attendance just by listening to audio programs as you drive around. And take all the training you can get. Your most valuable asset and a primary source of your self-esteem, a factor in your self-image, a determinant of your self-concept, is your earning ability. It's your ability to earn money. And the harder you work at increasing your earning ability, and the more you earn, the better you feel about yourself, the happier you are, the more positive are your mental vibrations, and the more opportunities you attract into your life to do even more than before. And finally, number 7 is positive action. When you hear about or learn a new idea, try it out immediately. There's a direct relationship between how fast you take action on a new idea and how likely it is that you'll ever take action on any idea at all. Develop a sense of urgency. Resolve to do it now. Develop a bias for action and a compulsion to closure. Get started, get going, and then stay with the task until it's complete. After I watched the movie and read the book, The Secret, I sat down and wrote my own book called Flight Plan, The Real Secret of Success. And in the book, I talk about a couple of key concepts that I think were missed or underemphasized. And I say that success is like a journey in an aircraft. An aircraft, a plane, will be off course 99% of the time, but it still takes off and lands on schedule most of the time. And so the three critical parts of my book, Flight Plan, are this. First of all, determine your destination. Be absolutely clear about who you are and where you're going and what you want to accomplish. And write it down and make a plan to achieve it. Second of all, take off. Have the courage to launch with no guarantee of success. In fact, when you launch toward a new goal, be prepared to suffer lots of problems, difficulties, setbacks, obstacles, and so on, but resolve in advance that you will never give up. Have the courage to take off. And finally, the third part of Flight Plan, which is considered by most people to be the most important, is that be prepared to make continual course corrections. Remember, an airplane is off course 99% of the time. What's the role of the pilot, and you are the pilot of your own life, is to make course corrections. Is when you have updrafts and backdrafts, when you have tailwinds, when you have headwinds, when you have storms, when you have turbulence in life, be prepared to make continual course corrections. Try this and try that, and try this and try that. But make it clear in your own mind that once you've set upon this goal and you have this clear, exciting picture of what you want, that you will never give up until you land at your destination. The law of attraction is one of the most important laws that you'll ever learn. And if you combine it with all of these other laws and principles and keep your mind completely positive and clearly focused on exactly what you want and work toward it every day, then the most remarkable things will happen. The most serendipitous events, the principles of synchronicity will act, and you will attract into your life all the things that you desire. Good luck.